German immigrant Paul Seifert lived a varied and creative life in the Driftless region he called home in Wisconsin. He painted vibrant watercolor farmscapes in the 19th century that are now highly prized by collectors. Wisconsin Historical Museum curator Joe Kapler tells us about Seifert, the man, and his work.
Paul Seifert grew up in the eastern part of what eventually became Germany. He came to Wisconsin in 1867. 1879 is the earliest known painting date, and it seemed that he did most of his work in the 1880s. And then it seemed to tail off, that's our understanding. But in that time, he also started doing paintings on glass for sale. He really got into his taxidermy business. He was also a bit of an amateur relic hunter, you would probably call that person today. And so he spent endless hours, I'm sure, in the hills and woods in the Wisconsin River Valley. He became associated with Charles E. Brown at the Wisconsin Historical Society, probably the first professional archaeologist. Not many listings in the newspapers about him at the time, but if there were, they talked about details like his lush gardens and his great tomato crop. So this all-around very interesting, creative person lived on the land, worked with his hands both physically as a farmer, but then also as this delicate painter. One of the best photographic images in the exhibition is a photograph taken of him late in life. He died in 1921. Appears to be sitting on a porch kind of reflectively, and his hands are in the foreground, and they're large, strong hands. And I love the image, and I think that really encapsulates Seifert as this guy who could do just about anything. He didn't paint what he saw with his eyes. He painted what he envisioned, you know, in the mind's eye. The perspective that you see in almost every one of these paintings is, yeah, we're a little bit back. We're a couple hundred yards back from the farm. We're 100 feet in the air, give or take. When you visit some of these farms today, you'll see that the perspective of the painting does not exist in nature. There was no hillside just across the way that he would perch on. Bird's eye maps were already the practice of making and selling bird's eye maps were already well established by the time Seifert was even in Wisconsin. And it's a similar perspective in these bird's eyes. They're larger, more grand, and higher up, further back. Perhaps he was inspired by that, or perhaps the vision was entirely his own. We're putting that out there as a possibility. You know, both my parents grew up on farms in northeastern Iowa, and so I have probably a little natural affinity to that. And then doing research over the last 5 or 6 years, occasionally kind of getting out into what I call Seifert country, I've kind of fallen in love with the natural landscape of Richland and Sauk and Iowa counties. But then this guy is such a great story, and such an, you know, he's this interesting cat, you know. And I think too often history overlooks people like that or dismisses them as kind of fringe characters. And why shouldn't we hear from him?
An exhibit of Paul Seifert's work is on view at the Wisconsin Historical Museum in Madison through August 30th.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Catch more Wisconsin Life on Wisconsin Public Television Mondays at 8 p.m. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org.
For more on Paul Seifert, Joe Kapler joins us in the studio now. He is the curator of cultural history at the Wisconsin Historical Society and the curator of the Paul Seifert exhibit that we've been talking about. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Well, it is great to have you here. You described Paul Seifert as an interesting cat there. And, you know, it brings up I've lived in Wisconsin my whole life. And when I looked at the pictures in preparation for this, I recognized them from somewhere in the back of my brain. But I'll be honest, I did not recognize his name. Why is that?
Paul Seifert and his work is very interesting because there's kind of a duality to the people who love and cherish his paintings. Certainly locally in Richland, Sauk, and Iowa counties, he's one of their own. He's a folk hero, and he's also a folk artist. There's a lot of colorful stories attached to Paul Seifert. But in the last 50 or so years, his works have been discovered by people. There's like that aesthetic. It's kind of similar to Grandma Moses paintings. And those folks who love his paintings are coast to coast. And so some of those paintings leave the state when they hit the art marketplace out there. So you could maybe meet somebody in the Northeast, New York State, Connecticut, etc., and they might know his name more readily than you might meet someone from Milwaukee area or Green Bay or something like that. We kind of feel sometimes that's our job at the Historical Society is to fill in those stories when needed. All too often, like I referenced in that piece, maybe history focuses on more mainstream, if you will, figures, artists, etc. This guy is a great story, and his paintings are very evocative as well. And they're laden with details, and many people can access them from very different vantage points.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the paintings. You mentioned in the Wisconsin Life piece we just heard that sense of perspective that he used, you know, kind of far back. And the sense of perspective is, I guess, primitive, that you would, the way he draws buildings and so forth. And but the colors are so vivid that, you know, 120 years later, they're sort of leaping off the page. And I'll be really interested to see what they look like in person, because they must be very, very impressive.
Yeah, they certainly are. And to your point first about the primitive aspect, and that's sometimes a label that may get attached to works. He certainly struggled a little bit with single point perspective. Some of his proportional dimensions are a little bit off here and there. Some people like that. That's part of the charm. But certainly he's providing a vision that no one else that we know of was doing. But you mentioned also the colors and the vivid nature. Most of these paintings were probably done in the 1880s and 1890s, and many of them that were preserved well, either intentionally or kind of by chance, they fool you. They don't pass the eyeball test. They look too good, too crisp, too clean. The reds are too, you know, red is the first color in the spectrum to exit, usually, if you will, to fade away. And some of these are just have the red detail. And one of the first tours I gave day after the exhibition opened, someone looked at a painting, an original painting, one of 17 in the show. They looked at that painting and said, "Oh, I see you have some reproductions here as well." It's like, no. You know, we work very hard to pull together original material. And these paintings came from around Wisconsin and actually around the country. But a few of them look like they could have come off the printer yesterday.
And as I understand it, some of the paintings he painted on commission, and sometimes he just painted views because he liked to look at them and liked to paint them.
We really don't know exactly how or why, you know, the particulars of his process. Mm-hmm. And I'd certainly love, for folks listening, if they may have some information. There's a lot of colorful stories and legend, if you will, about Seifert. Did he trade these for room and board? Did he commission? We really don't know. I'm sure it's kind of word of mouth. These paintings, the farms were all probably within about 25 miles of Gotham or Richland City. Not Richland Center, but Richland City, the former town washed away by the Wisconsin River. And Seifert never wrote in a journal or anything like that, or there's no diary accounts. There's no contemporary accounts. So when I've been doing interviews and talking with people and groups, ask somebody out there has or remembers a letter that grandma talked about this guy who came up from Gotham and he knocked on the door and he wanted to know if he could paint the farm. You know, I would love to know if that contemporary documentation exists, because what we have to work with now are his paintings. They're left to speak for to Paul Seifert. But as a historian, we'd love to be able to dig a little deeper as well.
So you've got 17 on display as part of this exhibit. How many has he done, and do you suspect or do you hope that there are more out there that we haven't found yet?
Our latest research indicates about 45 watercolor farm paintings, a few non-farm paintings that were done probably from about 1879 to the 19-teens. 17 in the show, and like I said, came from all kinds of different sources, and we appreciate people making their paintings available for us to share with everybody. Since the show opened, probably learned of 6 more paintings.
Really? That's got to be cool.
Certainly, yeah. And some I may have knew of. They were published years ago, and some are new discoveries, if you will. And for our purposes, We're always trying to add to the story. And just because the exhibition ends on August 30th doesn't mean we're going to, you know, close the book on Paul Seifert. We're always looking to build the story, and who knows down the road if there are other projects that can new discoveries can inform. But, you know, just today, you know, one thing I love about the job, when the phone rings or you open an email, you never quite know. And I learned of another one today, and that's wonderful.
Wow, that is really, really interesting. And the show runs through August 30th?
Through August 30th. A couple events real quick. Tomorrow at noontime, part of our lunchtime lecture series, Drew Stevens from the Chazen will be over, our colleague. And then Tuesday and July 22nd, evening dinner program where we pair, in this case, Graham Reed, curator from the Museum of Wisconsin Art, who's going to talk about folk art in general in Wisconsin. And we pair that with food and drink for a great evening event. So check out our website or give us a call.
And those events here in Madison. Joe Kapler, thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
We've been talking to Joe Kapler, curator of the Paul Seifert exhibit for the Wisconsin Historical Society.